God first in everything we do. And I have a favourite saying that goes like this. I'm not who I am because of what I do. I do because of who I am. As usual, preparing to share what God puts on my heart means that God stirs my heart and my head. And the theme of the series is called God First in Everything You Do. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The challenge before us is to glorify God in whatever we do. And in order to do that, we need to be developing the who we are in God, who we are in Christ. When we make a decision and a commitment to follow Jesus and his way, Paul sums it up in 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. Just as we have this new year, as we have met at the table, the Lord's table, about the new to start. The contemporary English version puts it this way. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. This is the gift that we receive from God, a new life. The ability to turn away from the old and to experience being a new creation. Our lives are constantly in the process of transformation. Each day we are being transformed, developed, growing. However, the question I think we need to be asking ourselves, in what way are we being transformed? Paul again writes in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. Or as the New Living Translation puts it, don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So who or what is influencing us? I mean, there is an official career, because that's what I'm speaking today, there's an official career of being an influencer. You know, people who just get onto YouTube and seem to influence lots of people. Do we allow them? Or who are the people that are influencing us? Are we being transformed into being a person or a people who put God first? Or do we allow the external things, influences, to impact our thinking and our behaviour? As we look at four key areas in our lives this January, these may be the questions that we need to be asking ourselves. This week it's about putting God first in your career. And I'll be speaking again next week on putting God first in your finances. Then Dan will be speaking on the following 2 weeks on putting God first in your health and in your relationships. And our key focus is to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God in all that we do. As Paul writes in Colossians, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what does it mean to put God first in your career? Well, this year I'm going to be 60. I never thought that would ever happen. In a previous era, generations ago, as a woman, I would be looking forward to retirement, like my mother did. However, this is no longer the case, which has its pluses and minuses. And in fact, as we enter 2020, I don't have prospects of any full-time employment. Again, has its pluses and minuses. Yet, I'm able to reflect on what it means to put God first in regard to my career. The journey of my career, the professions that I have and still have, the sources of my livelihood, my calling, has been a road of discovery, challenges, and at times, amusement. As part of my schooling in high school, my year, in that sense of being a collective group of people, the Americans we refer to it as the class of, mine was a year of many leaders, and by default, we have been trailblazers in a number of new things. And in 1997, we were the first year to pilot work experience. What you just at school take for granted now, we were the first year to do it. And I was selected to be in this group, and we were permitted to choose four professions to do to look at over the year. So for my first experience, I chose to do police work because I had a strong interest in the law. And part of that experience was to visit the horse training facility. Not one of the joys of my life. Horses and I don't get on. And once I found out, as per the rules of the time, I would never be accepted due to my height or lack of. So then I chose to look at social work. Again, due to the restrictions of what we could do as an observer, I gave up on that. Jenny may not know this, but so then I chose nursing. I won't go into describing that experience except to say that it involved wearing a size 22 pink uniform, and at that time I was a size 12, pluses and minuses, the good old days, and lots of bedpans. So for my fourth experience, and last experience, I chose teaching. This was not chosen for any other reason except that it was at my local primary school, which meant I could go home for lunch beforehand, walk to school to do the experience, go home at 3:15, and it was all done. So disregarding my school career advisor's recommendation, bless Mrs. Lyons, who kept saying I was well suited for teaching, I had absolutely no interest in looking at teaching as a career, as there were already two teachers in my family and heaps of people at church were teachers, and I really hated being like anybody else. But on this work experience, I loved it. As a 17-year-old, I really enjoyed being around kids and having the opportunity to direct, to challenge, to influence, to play, to laugh, to stir them. With all these precious lives, and this really impacted me. However, I could not publicly admit that to anyone. But I did tell a friend. The following year, as we were in the process of electing what we would be wanted to do with our lives, because in those days you chose your career for the rest of your life. So I decided that I wanted to apply to the Air Force to do military law, mainly because I liked the reaction that it got. I used to get a better reaction than you gave me then, but I used to get what? I love that reaction. So an appointment was made, it was organised, and I had to go into the city. And the night before, I once again confided in my friend. And I asked for her to pray for me as I went for this interview. She agreed that she would, but added that it would not be in the way that I wanted. She told me that she really believed that I should be going into teaching. So I travelled into the city the day of my interview, but my heart and my head were struggling. I was a follower of Jesus. I did want to do what God desired for my life, but I also wanted to be different. So on the train, I prayed. God, if you want me to go into teaching, you will need to close all current doors and make it really clear that I should go into teaching. Well, all I can say is that all the doors closed And sometimes I would say it was like I felt my nose was broken, or nearly. And I did go to Teachers College, which is actually where I met Karen Binns, which also led me then to Bible College and then back to teaching, into youth ministry, overseas to do further theological study, ordination, pastoring in churches, teaching again, God Space and SRE, teaching again. Over a span of 40 plus years, God has taken me on an amazing journey. And even adding in unexpected ways a very real encounter with the world of law. And over time, I have developed a way to seek God's confirmation to the direction that I should go. A threefold process to confirm thoughts that are usually rolling around in my head. And anyone who has spoken to me will know that this has been with me for a long time. Since my mid-20s, this has been my guiding process of most of my major decisions in regard to what work I should do and what career I should pursue, amongst other things. So this is my process in no particular order. The first is the confirmation through the teaching of God's word. And that may come through somebody preaching, a Bible study group, a workshop at a camp. The second one is through the personal reading of the Word of God myself. Being open to let the Holy Spirit speak to me and being prepared to listen. Third, confirmation from my faith community. People from within the church that I belong to, fellow faith sojourners, trusted followers of Jesus. Usually not people that I agree with. I want the people who aren't going to say yes to me, the ones speaking into my life, to be honest. There's no time restriction on this process. Sometimes it's happened within a short time. Other times it's been months. Trusting God in the process is an important part of the journey. In order for the glory to go to God means letting go of our own expectations, putting God first. So I look around here and I acknowledge that there's a broad range of working ages and career options amongst the people that have gathered here today. A number of you are retired. You've concluded your formal working life. There are others of you who are still at school and are yet to even know what that looks like, to contemplate what that looks like. And there are those of us who span everywhere in between. And personally, I wanted to add, I believe that the definition of our careers expands further than just being in paid capacity. I believe in parenthood as part of that career path, of friendships and commitments, of our neighbours and relating to them, as being consumers in our world, as volunteers. Because it comes back to, in all that we do, wherever we do it, needs to reflect who we are. So are we people of integrity? Are we honest in our dealings with people? Do we give our best to all? Are we servants? Are we humble? Are we generous? Are we joyful? Wherever we may be, who we are impacts what we do. Our lives, be it in paid work, as a volunteer, as a member of society, leads us into the marketplace. Jeff Van Wyck from Louisiana writes, "The marketplace touches virtually every person on earth, and this includes the church. The church cannot ignore what goes on in the world and should be in a position and should position itself to be effective in society as a whole, which includes the marketplace. The church should use the marketplace to spread the gospel and provide finances for its vision through the marketplace activities. Over 52 parables of Jesus, 45 had a workplace context. What we do in church should affect the marketplace, where we are working, where we are engaging society. And the functions that Christians perform in the marketplace should impact the church. Christians can have an influence in the church and in the marketplace. So again, coming back to 1 Corinthians 10, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. What we do is important to God. He uses us as instruments to advance his kingdom on earth. And wherever we fulfill these purposes in the church, or in whether we do it in the church or in the secular world environment, it's not important to God. As long as we are doing what he has called us to do, and that we are giving him the glory. And what's our motivation for that? From Colossians 3, to work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. A number of years ago, I had a conversation with a colleague that has had a lasting impact on me. Pete was in the process of retiring and planning to sell their home and to move north. So they needed to do some repairs and updating in order to get the house ready to sell. He tells how he clearly heard the voice of God saying to him, "Don't do a patch-up job just to make it look better. Rather, do your best so that you are blessed, that you will bless the person, the family who buys your home. Prepare it as if you were preparing it for me," says God. And that's what Pete did. He put time and money into making the house into a wonderful state, not to impress, but to serve. To use his skills, abilities, and time to serve God and to bless others. I find that a great example of how we should live in general, but also specifically in our working lives, putting God first in everything that we do. And that will influence the choices that we make about the jobs that we do and how we do them. For those who are yet to begin the journey of selecting a career, let me give you some of these thoughts. So for those of you who are in school, this is particularly for you to think about. What motivates you in the choices of what job you will do? Is it the one that will get you the most money or status? Or is it where you can best be a light in the world? Is it one that will require little from you time-wise, or one that utilizes your gifts and abilities best? Will it be a job that blesses you financially, that enables you to be generous to others? And I'll elaborate more on that next week. Is it a job that will stretch you and make you dependent on God to get you through? And they're the same questions that for those of us already well entrenched in our working lives. Plus, we need to ask, are we in jobs that take us away from our families too much? Are we enduring stress that gets out of hand? Does it impact our behaviour in a way that, in fact, as a follower of Jesus, does not present a favourable reflection of God? Do we stay in jobs that make us unhappy, unhealthy, because we fear change or loss of income? Do we forget to put God first in the centre and our reason for being there? But I'm not suggesting that our working lives need to be easy. For I know from my own working life that there are seasons when the demands are great and at certain times of the year, and sometimes over long periods of time. But I also have had to learn to find a balance of how to rest. And for me, I had to make the choice to stop and change. There will be aspects of our roles where we may need to take a stand against a common shared belief of society. For an example, a doctor friend of mine who specialises in women's health recently asked for prayer as she navigates the legal requirements re-abortion here in New South Wales. There are times she finds herself in conflict with her own beliefs and the requirements of the law. She believes in doing her best for the women in her care and so needs to seek God's guidance in her words and her actions. There will be many who find themselves having to make difficult decisions in their roles. One of my brother-in-laws walked away from his job in 2014 because of his objection to the unethical practices of his boss. At 54, he walked away with no superannuation, no payout, nothing. Nothing except a clear conscience and his integrity intact and believing that God would provide. And a whole new door of opportunity opened for him, and that has been amazing to watch. For those who are no longer officially in the working world, how you contribute is not over. How you use your experience and skills that you have accumulated over your lifetime to pass, how are you using them to pass on to the next generation? How do you let them know? What can you do for those who are still working or those who are yet to begin that process? What can they learn from you? Without a doubt, the jobs of the future will probably look very different, and futurists say that children and young people will possibly have 15 jobs and 5 different careers in their time. On January 11, I heard the ABC say that they anticipate that at least 20% of the current jobs won't even exist in 10 years' time. Yet there are still key things that don't change. From 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I've somehow not printed out my page. I wanted to, you know, when talking about the differences of, maybe Karen can help me. I asked Peter Binns, he has graduated, finished uni this year, and I asked him, so what have you graduated with? Can you recall?
A Bachelor of Design and Visual Communications with a Diploma in Innovation.
I don't know what that's going to look like after his name. So. And he already has a job with Qantas to do. Yeah.
It's very much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly. You made your point. Yeah. See, that's my point. And he says, and it's going to be in UI and
user experience.
UE and UI. And then I waited for a moment, and then he came back and said, "Yeah, user experience and user inter." So thanks for translating. I mean, I've spent time talking with him about what he does, and seriously, I only understand every third word, and that's because it's the word the and ah. I just sit there and try and look intelligent, and I just have no idea what he's talking about. But that's what our young people here are going into. They don't even know what's ahead of them. You know, when I fought against going to teaching, I knew what that looked like. You know, when I had that call into pastoral ministry, I knew what that looked like. But our young people won't at this point in time. And so that whole concept of we need to instill into our children and our youth the importance of relying on God. And I want you young people to hear this, that we really want you to seek God's guidance in your decision making, to be people of integrity, of honesty, of compassion and loving, and most importantly, about putting God first. What we do in our working lives is important in God's big picture. Choosing where to work is also choosing where we do ministry. Again, from Jeff Wyck, Van Wyck. The concept of ministry is changing as the world changes, and it is important for the church to make adjustments to the way people are used in their gifting and professions so that the gospel can be presented everywhere and not only within the four walls of the church. There are people who will never go to a church service and may never hear the good news of the kingdom unless it's expressed in the marketplace. How we do what we do makes an impact on people. We are to be evangelists. But that's not saying, I'm not saying that you've got to go out and say the gospel all the time, you know, and all that. It's how we live our lives. And that people will say, what makes you different? Or why don't you do that? And it comes back to my quote about, you know, I do it because of who I am. And it needs to be a place of servanthood. Jesus demonstrated that, you know, when he washed the feet of the disciples. He is the master, washed the feet of his disciples. And he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. We are called to serve, not to be served. We are called to be effective within the church and beyond these church walls. Most people relate ministry to the work done by the pastor of a church, by missionaries, by those in music ministry or children's ministry, youth ministry, you know, whatever has that term ministry. But wherever we are fulfilling our roles in life is where we are doing ministry. So we want to be ministry focused in how and what we do. I'd love for people and our young people to consider pastoral ministry, you know, to be able to be in these roles of being able to pastor people and guide people in that. But that can be in any way, in any place. Many people mistakenly believe that those who are in full-time Christian ministry have a higher calling than those whose calling is into the secular world. No. There are so many biblical accounts of individuals who were called by God to religious and non-religious related work. The biblical concept of ministry is service rendered to God or to the people. The standard set for those in ministry is portrayed as the servant leadership of Christ. Ministry involves people, and its purpose is to advance the kingdom of God in word and deed. So whether it refers to those in a church environment or on the streets of a city or in the workplace, at school, ministry must be seen as a personal commission from God. Our place about bringing about reconciliation between God and people. That's our responsibility as born again believers, that we're called to do that. God has created us all for a specific purpose. We are all special and unique, and each of us has a distinct calling and destiny in God. We're not simply called to fill pews and listen to sermons. Each of us is called to help the kingdom of God through our words and deeds. Each of us has a specific role in God's divine purpose. And God desires to share his plans and purposes with us so that we can be fully prepared and fully equipped to fulfill our destiny. He never created us to wander around aimlessly in life. What we do for a career, for a job, reflects who we are as people. Without a doubt, my skills and gifting have been stretched and expanded because of the different jobs I've done. And with hindsight, I can see how each experience builds on and brings me to a place for the next one. And hence, I keep asking, all right, God, particularly of these last few years, what I've gone through and the experiences, what is that for me ahead? Where is that going to be put into place? But I also have to confess, I have to smile how many times teaching keeps coming into the equation. Yet I also keep coming back. I'm not who I am because of what I do. I do because of who I am. And let me explain and finish with that for a moment. Often we get defined by the jobs that we do. She's a pastor. He's a nurse. He's a teacher. She's an accountant. She's the God-spoke guru. They can be very complimentary statements. Yet, if we are to leave that role, our identity, if it's wrapped up in that role, it can be devastating. Hence, it's important to keep reminding ourselves and each other that we are not who we are because of what we do, but rather our identity is in who we are. And that begins with being a child of God. Seek to be in a job that reflects who you are. Seeing God at work, and more importantly, others seeing God at work in my life, keeps me on that pathway. Keeps me on that pathway that's set before me. So how will you navigate that pathway? So what of my journey at the moment? Well, I truly thought that I'd be in full-time employment for this year, but that's not the case. I'm blessed to be able to do some casual work, including teaching. In fact, in teaching at the same public school that I went to, and I did the work experience at. God has a great sense of humour. And I have temporary roles that uses my experiences, skills and gifting, and it keeps me occupied as well as provides what I need to pay for bills. But wherever and whatever I do, I seek to put God first so that God might be glorified. I confess I often fail in maintaining that, but with God's help, I will strive in faith and hope to stay on the path that God would have me tread. So will you pray with me? God, our provider, may we be the people you have created us to be, particularly in the place of employment that we're in. Help us to stay focused, motivated, less stressed, more creative, and able to act quickly and think clearly. May all that we do bring you glory. Help us to take ownership of the mistakes that we may have made and not seek glory for successes. Help us to be an encourager to colleagues to actively seek ways to support them. If we are in a place that's not healthy for us, I pray that you will guide us to make wise decisions, to either change the situation or remove us from it altogether. Help us not to be motivated by fear or the desire to be in control of our lives in a way that excludes you. For those who are yet to begin the journey of being in the workplace, help them in their studies, Lord, both academically and spiritually, so they will be open to your guidance of the career path to follow. Let their motives in the decision process be pure and not influenced by worldly standards. Let not the desire for money be the sole motivator. Help them to be prepared for the life that is yet to be lived. For those who are no longer in formal employment, either by choice or forced upon them, I pray that their experience, skills and gifting may still be used by you, God. For those in between jobs or in need of more hours, may the doors of opportunity open. And loving God, for all of us, may we be committed to putting you first in everything that we do, so that it is you who receives the glory. And thank you that you do care for every aspect of our lives. Strengthen our faith, our hope, and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Are we doing God of wonders?